NBA basketball fans, welcome back to the NBA Banter Podcast, soon to be renamed or named what it is, NBA Playoff Banter Podcast. That's what we normally do. I'm Dees Marshall. We're here to discuss the return of the NBA. The NBA is back July 31st. I almost said July 1st. July 31st. We will discuss all the details, as far as the amount of teams. Some people are complaining about a couple of items. There's going to be 8 regular season games, potential play-ins. So we're going to get to all the details, including some interesting items, let's put it that way, that me and my co-host already started arguing off air. So you know they're good, interesting items here. But we do have a couple of different items that executives right now are brainstorming to pitch to the NBA for an alternative to home court advantage. Some of them kind of line up. Some of them are kind of borderline. Some of them I don't think are legit. This is going to be fun. But first and foremost, the fact that it's back, we got to appreciate it. Okay, and then the other part of the show will be breaking down that ESPN top 74 players that they put out of all time not long ago. Thought it was a pretty good in-depth list. It does feel kind of weird to have that many active players on it. You wonder if you should wait until they're done, but they are at an age where, they've accumulated enough stats. But then some of this stuff is, we are talking NBA basketball player, right? Not just an offensive stat. So we're going to get into that as well. We're also going to list our best Bulls double three-peat, okay? Whether it's 96 or 97 or 92 or 93 or whatever. So we're going to get into some of that as well. Like I said, I'm just excited that we are back. This is going to be fun. It's kind of crazy, though. We're like, yeah, we're back. All right, we'll see you guys in 7 weeks. It is kind of a funky thing. But we did tell you we were going to do a show when the NBA announced. So here we are. By the way, if this is your first time listening to the NBA Playoff Banter Podcast, because normally we go from the college ball show right, at the beginning of April, because it's the national championship at that time. And what's crazy is the finals would be starting right now normally. We normally just go right into the playoffs. So that's why we call it the Playoff Banter Podcast. But if this is your first time listening to the show, it streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. It streams live at archives. It's basically the headquarters for a couple of different podcasts that we do. It's called Ropeadope Radio. You don't have to go to Blog Talk and Ropeadope there, right on to listen to it in the browser or download it. Some people do. We are available under the Ropeadope Radio Podcast at Apple Podcasts, at iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Spreaker, Stitcher, really across the board. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found all across the board, like I mentioned as well, including Spotify. You can use your Siri or Alexa through Spotify or TuneIn to find the platform. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. That's thegruelingtruth.com. They got a great sponsor over there, betnow.eu, with the promo code TGT. It's basketball, it's football, it's baseball, it's boxing, it's everything in between. One more thing. If you're thinking about cutting the cord, or you have and you're not quite happy, obviously these last couple of months, a bunch of stuff has been archived, right? Well, I got something for you. It's called AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. I actually use it myself. There is a 7-day free trial. Once you sign up, the plans start as low as $55 a month. There's no annual contract. You could stream it anywhere. And they have the cloud DVR. It's called AT&T TV Now. Like I said, live streaming cable. However, if you're in an area of the country or in the part of your state that your internet is really bad, or you're by the airport or something like that, there is AT&T TV. That's a normal cable platform. It's a growing platform. It is available in limited areas. It's not everywhere. It's here in Minneapolis, Minnesota, in New York, parts of Florida, parts of Texas, parts of California, all the way up to the Northwest, in Seattle, other places like St. Louis in the Midwest. It's available in a fair amount of places. Just Google AT&T TV, put your area code in there, and see if it's available. Otherwise, AT&T TV Now, like I said, live streaming cable. All right. Well, here we are. The day has come. We speculated it a bunch. Thank goodness for the Last Dance, the Michael Jordan / Bulls documentary that kept us going and gave us content to argue and debate about and to appreciate. But the NBA is back starting July 31st. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host before we get to some of these details. See how he's doing. But real quick, the last time we did a show, I remember before you talked about – I think you talked about it during the game or during the show too. You talked about how you watched Game 6 in 98, the finals. And it was one of those rebroadcasts that they actually tightened the shot, which I like too because, you know, it's non-HD. So they tightened the shot to make it closer, and they used a bunch of different viewpoints during the game to give you a different look of it, a more intense look. And they had it mic'd up. So, you know, you could kind of hear the players and coaches and refs just as much as you could hear the broadcast. And that was – I'm glad you told me about that because that was really, really fun to watch and to see it broke down that way. And like you said, to see all those extra offensive rebounds and just in general, it was fun to watch a game like that, especially with so many, you know, Hall of Fame players in it. Like I said, the way they zoomed in. If anyone hasn't done that, I know it's probably – you know, it's probably just chilling on ESPN Plus, or you could probably even check your guide and download it and probably watch it. But that was a good I'm glad that you told me about that. I know you texted me, but I wanted to tell you that because that was dope. That was really fun. Otherwise, overall, relatively speaking, how are you doing, sir?
Not too bad. The foot's healing up, so I'll be running again soon. It's driving me nuts, but I've been golfing now. I'm home in the cities. I'm actually not too far from you, probably 20 minutes away, and we're going to grab a drink here next week. But yeah, so life's okay. Had a good round of golf this afternoon, and yeah, that's kind of my summer fix. I love golf, but I hate being a teacher because obviously during the day, you know, it's really hard to get out of school and coach and try to golf at 6 p.m. and get an 18. the sun gods aren't in your favor there. But, you know, I normally always like to kind of start off with a little bit of like a national perspective from how we've been doing, you know, for the past couple of months. And I'll just say this. I think that maybe, Chris, maybe it's because of the athletes in NBA are mainly black. And I know that this whole thing, a lot of our country now is kind of trying to make the African-American race like treated more fairly, which I completely agree with. I mean, I pretty much every basketball girl I coach is black. And I don't see color, none of that, but you keep having some athletes who are saying stuff and like, you know, the Fromm from the Bills was using Facebook talking to some girl, some friend he had, you know, today he said, well, I think we should only be able to have guns for rich white people. And the Drew Brees comment, you know, which again, he knew what he was saying. Like we had that whole Kaepernick chat years ago. So it amazes me kind of nowadays how these athletes are maybe not socially aware. It's like, dude, we're in a country moment of history, which I'll teach my kids in history class 20 years from now about, hey, when George Floyd died, here's what happened to our country. And we still have professional athletes who for this two people I mentioned are football players. It's like, dude, you know, you live a luxurious life. And again, nobody's perfect. I mean, me and you aren't perfect. No one's perfect. But if you're an athlete who's making a good living, the fact that you're either ignoring it or just really have a different view than most of our society, it amazes me about just more of this news we hear on athletes, you know, maybe not trying to help out all people together. And again, I know that there's racism in our country and that's never going to go away. But it seems like about every couple of days or so, we keep hearing someone tweeted this and someone said that. It's like, man, like, okay, I hear you, but that wasn't a smart tweet. And now that Jake Fromm, the dude who was getting laughed at for not being drafted during the whole NFL draft, is now probably going to get cut, or could be cut. It's like, social media is a beautiful, wonderful, and also kind of all-around scary thing, Chris. It's crazy how I'm happy we have it, because I've seen so many cool videos of, like, people in Memphis praying together and everything, and obviously seen some sad videos too. But the social media angle with athletes nowadays is just an interesting study. That it just something that we weren't used to. Like, to kind of tie this into the Bulls, I never knew much about the Pippen stuff, just because when I would watch football, when I watched basketball for the Bulls growing up, like, you didn't really get many side stories. And I'm sure they might have talked about it a little bit, Chris, but during the Bulls game, it was never, hey, here's Pippen, and they pull up a little stat sheet of, like, Pippen's only being paid this much, blah, blah, blah. Back then it was, hey, Pippen's a basketball player, we're going to show you the game. It is crazy. I know it's a little bit off topic here, but how social media is changing our country and our sport world. And I think a lot of NBA players have been using it over the last couple weeks to really benefit and try to help society out.
Definitely. Can you hear me right now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, because something went wrong with my stuff.
Sounds like you're a little further away from the phone, but I can definitely hear you clearly, yes.
Yeah, and I'm not on the phone, so that's the problem.
Oh, okay.
That's what's going on. Something's going on here. Hang on. Just give me a second. What about
you
now?
You sound good. Yeah, you sound
right
good.
Right now it is?
Yeah, yep.
Okay. All right, cool.
All right. But, okay, so anyways, enough of the nationwide talk. But, again, I just be smart with what you're doing.
No, but you're right, and we're starting to see it in politicians, in city councilmen, and all this stuff. Like, did you see the woman who does – I can't remember what board she sits on or something, but it has to do with the USC program and some of the stuff she said, although she just loves to be around – the football players and all that, and taking all these pictures with the football players. And she loves to be entertained, and the fact that they bring money into her school and stuff, but they just got a bunch of ignorant stuff to say. And you're right. I mean, this whole racism thing is just some people still are not willing to think it actually either exists or they limit it. And when you see these kids posting with their friend with a knee on someone's head, that really shows you a whole lot. Like, these kids didn't just learn it from anything.
No.
You know what I mean? And yeah, it's unbelievable. And let's hope that this is the time. I keep hearing, you know, some of these same people that are so worried about their freedoms and rights, and have every right to be, by the way, they want to bulldoze some of these protesters. You know, I see some comments on Twitter, on Facebook, and it's like, so you're the one saying, you know, you stand with the cops, you stand with military, you stand with all these freedoms, but then they can't have a freedom to do that. Or even when we're talking about curfew, remember the protest, they say, well, it's curfew, go home. Too bad you got tear gassed. Okay, but were we saying that a couple of weeks ago and a couple of months ago when people were out even more than curfew? Because remember, the COVID thing, the shelter in place is actually more strict than a curfew. You're supposed to go to work. You're supposed to you're supposed to get food, and you're supposed to get exercise. So the fact that they were at the Capitol for their rights, and that's, I have every right. I didn't once say go plow them or nothing like that. That's their right. No problem. That is their right. Now, I'm against someone with a Nazi flag saying Trump and Pence, and I know that doesn't, you know, cover everybody that voted for Trump. I know that. But I'm against that part, sure. But I'm not going to tell them to go bulldoze them. So it is kind of funny. People are just it's a good sign that people are getting this defensive, because that means you're starting to get them on the ropes. And they're starting to run out of excuses and reasons, basically.
Yeah, it's nice to just see people who maybe are racist or who don't want to see change and have social media call you out. That's one plus to it, you know. And I'll say this last and I'll move on. But that Laura Ingraham, who is like a top Fox News person, like, who once, like a year ago, told LeBron to shut up and dribble, is
right.
When he was talking about societal affairs, told, well, Drew Brees is allowed to have an opinion. Whoa, hold on now.
Shouldn't he just shut up and throw the ball?
Yeah, shut up and say hut.
Shut up and throw the ball.
I didn't know that she's pro football and hate basketball. Because clearly that's the only thing in her mind that would make her say, shut up and dribble. Yeah. Oh, he's allowed to talk. So, you know, again, there's a lot of great uses for media. But for sports itself, and again, I'll say I didn't tell you about this, Chris, but I think this does kind of go hand in hand. I like that the NHL came out with a 24-team playoff. Now, again, I'm sure the NBA was going to do something like this, but it was a cool stepstone because, I mean, me as a hockey fan and a basketball fan, hockey is going to have an even bigger tournament than basketball. They're having 24-team tournaments, and if you're not in the top eight, you're having a best out of five. So it's like, I'm sure the NBA is like, holy shit, like, okay, NHL's got their plan. Kind of let's kind of copy and make ours. And again, I know they don't necessarily go hand in hand, but as a sports fan, you're saying, okay, we have NHL, which is set up and cool. NBA now it's set up and cool. And MLB is going to have a quick season. So things are starting to turn around for the sport fans. Now for us personally, for the NBA, as we'll get into this, like I said, I'm happy we're back. We debated on it a couple of times throughout the past couple of weeks or months of, I don't think Silver's going to, like, you know, let the season go away. He doesn't want that to be on his resume. He obviously loves the game. The players obviously are probably losing their minds and going crazy. Everyone wants a season. So now we have a plan, which is really cool. The plan itself is a little bit modified, as we'll get into. It's not the first just, hey, we have our 8-8, let's go play basketball, like there normally would be for playoffs. Obviously, unless you're like a really new NBA fan, you know, most people know, okay, 8 teams in the West, 8 teams in the East, 1-8, here we go. They're adding a couple of more teams in, and they decided, Chris, to have it to where if you're within 6 games of the 8th spot right now, that gives you a chance to still compete for a playoff spot. What they're doing is, of the 20 teams left in the, or 22 teams left in the NBA, every team is going to play 8 games. And if you are the 9 seed who is within 4 games or less of the 8 seed, you will have a play-in opportunity. So every team of the 22 teams left, every team is going to get to play 8 games, which is awesome. It's kind of a warm-up. If you're not any of those teams mentioned, you have your season is over. So the Timberwolves and Warriors, our guys are done. And they're basically going to have a 8-game warm-up. Again, there's a possible play-in, but hey, it's great to see. And the other angle that I'll throw it back to you, if you're wondering why they had some extra teams come in and have some playoff games or regular season games to play, it's for saving money. If the NBA had just said, hey, we have a playoff format, let's go, time to roll the dice and have fun, they would be losing about $685 million of player salary. By having 88 games to be played, they're actually going to save and only lose $300 million of salary. So if you're an NBA fan, you're wondering, why the hell are they playing these 8 games to warm up? Well, A, I think the players probably want it. And B, the NBA and player salaries, they're actually going to get more money, Chris. They're not losing nearly as much as they potentially could have.
Yeah, and that is big. It makes a lot of sense. I just asked you that as well before we got on here, and you had found that detail and knew that detail. So that cleared that up real quick for me. And when you look at it, you know, the fact that it's not like baseball, who's still trying to figure out that they're going back and forth, but that's baseball.
Jesus.
It's a strong union. So that does kind of line up. But this one's interesting because they got through most of their season. And to have this break, but then to still, you know, stay in shape, but then to have a buildup. I mean, talk about a runway to take off on. They now have a runway. We're starting this month. They started to get, you know, not even this month, I think last week, they started to get, you know, players in and starting to do drills. And then there's like a 2-week thing where they're going to be doing that. And there's a 2-week thing when they're going to be in Orlando. And it turns out it is in Disney World, like we kind of figured the last couple of weeks. And then to have 8 regular season games, I mean, I understand there's not going to be a crowd. I do get that part. But we always see a lift in everybody's game ball. Not everybody. James Harden from time to time and other players. But not everybody lifts their games in the playoffs, but for every game. That was a cheap shot at Harden. But anyway, you know, like everybody jumps their game up. But to have these are the freshest legs, like everybody too, not just because a player got hurt and they decided to, you know, sit him for 12 games or something like that. Everybody pretty much is going to have the freshest legs in the playoffs and in the finals that we've ever seen. So that will, percentage-wise, I don't know where the percentage exactly is, of course, but that will make up for some of that home court adrenaline that the players have. I think that the appreciation level for most people is going to go up. I know just going to work, you know, was like, hey, dude, this is great. You know, it rained for 2 hours or something like that during my shift. I was like, I don't care. This is fine. I'm just here. When I'm leaving, it felt good. You know, it just felt good to have some sort of structure and whatnot. So I think the appreciation level from the players, too, are just going to be like, hey, this is cool. We're not going to lose as much money. So I think all in all, this is good. And I do like how they made it wide open. I mean, I'm sure, you know, if an 8 seed gets knocked out, they're going to be a little pissed. Because if someone had a 3-game lead on you or whatever, I understand some of that. But then again, they're not playing the full schedule either. So I think that 88 games, like you said, explaining, you know, $300 million less, that's freaking huge. And if you look at some of the format just in general, it's a 16-day regular season, 5 to 6 games each day, which is going to be awesome if you got a day off.
God, that's awesome.
And you can just freaking watch it. And in each team, another thing that is cool. Now, sure, some teams are going to play a harder schedule. We get that. But I think in the end, like, that does suck for some teams. But in the end, when it comes down to it, I think you're going to find out we're going to be okay. Each team expected to play just one back-to-back in its 8 regular season games. And then if you look at the NBA Finals format, they're expected to include games every other day during that 7-game series. And I kind of want to reiterate the 7-game series, where we're having full series for everything. And so you have 13 teams on the West, 9 teams on the East. So the Suns are 26-39. The Spurs are 27-36. The Kings are 28-36, and 28-36 are the Pelicans. The Blazers, who said, nah, we're good, 29-37. So we have some decent star power. I should say not decent, some pretty damn good star power in there. If you look at the NBA, NBA has set the draft for August 25th draft lotto. October 15th is going to be the draft. Now the players have basically to the end of the summer, the college players have to the end of the summer to figure out exactly what they're going to do there. So it really lines up to make a lot of sense. And like I said, I'm just happy we're back, man. And if you look at it, the next season will start December 1st, 2020. The latest, I think, is October 13th of the NBA Finals. That would be Game 7. So, 2021, December 20th, that gives them enough time for sure to do what they got to do. Free agency during the fall is going to be kind of weird. But if you look at player movement, there's going to be player movement, of course. But I don't think it's going to be the levels that we've seen anyway going into this the last 3 years, you know what I mean? And you could probably back it up to like almost the last 10 years, really. So I'm not sure how much movement there could be, trades and all that, but it's just nice to know that we are going to have probably a July finals or something like that, you know what I mean? So that'll be a little different, but that's no big deal. You know, that's really not a big deal, and it'll make sense. It'll line up, and we got ourselves the season. So I'm freaking happy. Like I said, you know, July 31st is a while from now, but we you know, that is, that gives them plenty of, like I said, a, you know, to get in your facility and get going, to get the rust off, then to get down to Orlando and continue to get the rust off. And so I really think this all adds up, man. No doubt about it. I'm happy.
Yeah, it is. We got a sport back. I mean, this fall with, I mean, baseball and every sport is going to be going on at the same time. It's going to be sick. If you're a sports fan, I know we've been suffering, Chris, we really have, but this fall we're going to be rewarded. But for obviously the NBA just itself, I mean, the fact you have 5 games a day for almost 2 weeks, I mean, think of the sport gambling and just the fascination and just people still who will be bored at home with something to finally do. It's going to be really cool. Looking past the fact there won't be any fans, it's going to be fun to watch. I did hear some people suggest, like, hey, maybe, you know, have some good audio, like, from on the court. And then the person I was listening to said, thank God Kevin Garnett's on the league anymore.
Seriously, dude. They're gonna have to take down the mics underneath the rim a little bit, though. They really are. And not only that, but just the sneakers. Just the sneaker sound alone. I know that sounds funny, but if you've ever watched, like, an NIT game that no one's at, or even a game in the way back in the day when I was younger, when the tournament was big, but the first, sometimes there still wouldn't be many people in there for like a 1-16, or maybe that's a bad example, but just like a no hope. But the sneaker sound, they're going to have to do something about it, dude, because it's going to be loud as fuck, dude.
That, yeah, that is true. And again, you are going to hear people talk no matter what in general, you know. So, you know, obviously they don't want to have a bunch of swear, but you're going to hear voices. Like, I know football is even suggesting, like, having noise being made up. Because, I mean, if you can hear people say football, like audibles and stuff, that's a whole, you know, I mean, again, different show. But if you can hear people call audibles, no team wants to make new audibles every week.
Right. But, or during the freaking game, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You're right. It's hard to catch up to that just reading lips sometimes, though. That's a good point, man. Like you said, that is true, though, with KG, because KG doesn't even have to be in the game. You know, he's on the sidelines saying so. He probably can't even go to these games, like, as a reporter. You know, like, nah, dude, just no media, nothing. You can't be here, KG. Sorry.
So looking past MF bombs being dropped by KG, one thing I do like about this, as you were just saying, is that fact that these teams can still play themselves in. Again, if you're the 9 seed within 4 games of the 8 seed, that means you will have a chance to play. And now how that goes, which I think is kind of cool, is you play each other head to head. So let's just say it's Memphis and New Orleans. Okay. It's Zion and Morant. Okay. If New Orleans was the 9 seed, they would have to beat Memphis once, and then beat Memphis again, and then they would sneak in the playoffs. So it's kind of like that old school, you know, schoolyard basketball, and you're playing with your buddies. Well, you know, I want to be the best player here. Well, I beat you yesterday. Well, fine, I'll beat you twice now, kind of like that thing. And I think it'd be kind of cool, actually. Let's say it was New Orleans and Memphis. Let's say New Orleans does kick their ass the first game. Okay, so now you got NBA guys who just played head-to-head who are now playing again for a chance at a playoff life. Again, I don't know how the game would go, but just the fact, Chris, you could have a scenario of that happening, and hopefully you could have the same thing in the East, too, maybe with, like, Orlando and Washington. How cool would it be, just for kind of a different change of pace, to have these guys play head-to-head and have someone lose, then all of a sudden it's one or done? You know, we're so used to having, hey, you got down 2-0, it's time to fight back, or hey, we're down 3-0 now, really got to suck it up for our team. No, this thing, hell no. You got to win, too. And if you lose that first game and you know, you were thinking you're going to be a playoff team, now you might lose. I think that would make for a really cool one game opportunity. And I think that's something the NBA did really good. And I know we'll get to the rules about how they're going to help out home court teams eventually here soon. But I love this. Hey, if you're close enough, let's give you a chance. Yeah. And I think that, and as you mentioned, obviously we're going to see talented play. Like we will, but I think it'd be a little extra motivation angle, which we're not used to seeing from the NBA, if we have this make it, take it, winner kind of game. I think that's a really awesome idea. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I like it. I like that scenario. I think it makes it fair because you're saying, hey, we're not playing as many games, but it really doesn't matter because you don't have to get within one game. You know, you're not screwing anyone over the top or anything like that. I think you're right. And I'll say this. They allowed cussing in that documentary. Will they go the whole way and allow it, you know, in just straight up? You know, will they do that? I don't know. I mean, TNT, ESPN, and ABC are the ones that have to make that, you know, decision. But I wonder if they're just going to be like, screw it, dude. Who cares? You know, but once it gets on ABC and it gets that big and some of these games get, you know, it's going to be more than 4 or 5 or 6 million people watching it live. So I'm sure they won't do it. But to answer your question, yeah, I really do like that. I do kind of like the old school feel to it, like you said. Or not old school, but just the playground feel to it. I think that's a good idea. And you never know. Maybe it'll spark a rivalry or whatever. Other podcasts. Just so you know, there was a report that a group of 50 Alabama football players gathered to work together and 5 of them tested positive for COVID. So, you know, it is in June and they don't start playing for a while. So, and all these dudes are young and most of them are pretty healthy. So we got to remember that. That's another thing about these protests. If you think about the ones that were there the longest, a lot of the times they were younger people. And we did need to get this flow going somehow, unfortunately. So hopefully that doesn't come back and bite us overly. I'm hearing a little bit of an echo. Is there something? Can you hear an echo at all or no?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Maybe it's just that whole mic thing or whatever that I was having.
You know, Nick Saban damn well has been having those guys attend like 7-hour Skype sessions with like three-page homework on how to defend the option and everything. For those poor Alabama boys, they're making it on the field, but I guarantee there's not a single freedom of much if you're in Tuscaloosa. If anything, Saban's more pissed and being tougher on the guys.
Yeah. You know what's crazy is I saw this article that made a lot of sense to it. You know, speaking of college football, a lot of college football coaches have been mighty, mighty quiet about this whole freaking thing, and they don't want to offend anyone, but take a look at your roster, buddy. You better fucking wake up, flex on national TV talking about it. And this is not – I know a lot of people will just go, oh, the South. Now, I'm talking about college football in general. Of course, the SEC is king, no doubt about it. But, man, I've heard a lot of quiet coaches in college football. And actually, if they added up, they did like a mini study of how many, you know, different sports and all that. And college football is actually lacking the most. But you're right. Yeah, I guarantee you, he's not using this as an excuse at all. That's for damn sure. We're going to go over a couple items here. These are not in the rule book yet. These are not anything. These aren't official. Basically, the team executives, are brainstorming some rules to pitch to the NBA and see if they'll take them as alternatives to home court advantage. Now, let's break some of these down. The higher seed team gets possessions to start the second, third, and fourth quarter. Okay? That's one of them. Higher seeded teams designates one player to be allowed 7 fouls before they fall out. Higher seed team receives one extra coach's challenge throughout the game. Higher seeded team transport actual hardwood home court to Orlando. Higher seeded teams get hotel choice priority. Okay? The extra challenge, the coach challenge, let's go over them. Let's just go over them. What do you think about the extra challenge?
Yeah, I know we were talking about this before the show, and I think you have to have a couple of these go through just because you really, and again, I know times are different right now and everything, but you still got to reward the teams who deserve the home court that they're missing out on. Again, I've been spoiled as hell to be a Warriors fan, and if they were in it this year, have an Oracle compared to a neutral open court in Orlando, I mean, that's like a 5 to 7 point home crowd difference that you cannot replicate. So I think these ideas are worth it. Now, obviously, you're not going to say, hey, we're going to start the score 4-0. Like, they're not going to do that. But I do think that giving a team some extra perks is fair, because this is something they would be having if they were at home. So an extra coach's challenge, it's a little extreme. It's not quite the points, but I'd be okay with it, because, that would be something that that gives them a benefit for what they earned through the season. So I would vote yes for that.
Yes or no? There's no in between. Yes. Yeah, okay, so you're good with that. Okay. So what about the higher-seeded team gets hotel choice priority?
I don't think that really matters at all.
Is one closer than the other?
Yeah.
Do they the buffet that they can't even eat right now, probably, because there's no buffets? I would give them that if they want it, though.
Sure.
Because it doesn't – to me, it's like, okay, great. Here, if it shuts you up, go for it. Okay.
Are there late-night friends going to be allowed to – come right. over, and if so, are they going to be quarantined? That's a whole meal of athletes. They have a lot of sleepovers.
Yeah.
I wonder if sleepovers are going to be allowed in quarantine NBA playoffs. I don't know. So and now if that was an issue,
I think you got to designate who your booty call is going to be for that month. I don't know if it changes each time you go further in the playoffs. Like, I'm going to switch it up because it's just different. We're playing a different team. And usually I meet up with her in this city. So can I get a quarantine? I don't know. That's a good question.
Maybe there's some underground things we don't know about that a hotel preference could determine the sleepovers you can have. So if that was the case, I think NBA guys would be like fighting to the death for hotel choices. So I'll say I don't care, but if I was an NBA player, maybe I do. I'm not sure.
All right. So you're yes, because it's like, sure, yeah, take it.
Yeah, that's sure. Not a big deal.
Okay. Higher seed team gets possession to start the second, third, and fourth quarters. I agree with this one, and this is giving an extra possession each quarter. To me, that does make up for something.
This would be my favorite one, and yes, I agree. I think, if you were to maybe do a statistic analysis, you could have someone say, well, that gives them a higher percentage of winning the game. Well, that's true, but
so does home court.
So does home court, and I would say home court's even more than that. So, yes, I that's my favorite one. I love that one.
So that'd be three extra possessions that you didn't earn, you didn't get, you just got it. I mean, you earned it, but you know what I mean? In this sense, you got those. That's up to, you know, that can be 9 points. That could be four. That could be whatever the fuck.
And realistically, in theory, you're guaranteed one of those anyway. So let's say LeBron wins the tip. Right. LeBron would be guaranteed the fourth quarter or with jump balls. So, I mean, you're essentially getting two extra possessions.
Right. Good call. And it could be three, I suppose, if you won the tip or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah, that's a good call. I like that one. I agree. Because that's like, all right, you know, now we're talking. Higher seed team transport actual hardwood home court to Orlando. And this one kind of cracks me up because – it's not like the Boston Garden. There isn't so many creaks there and cracks there and don't dribble the ball there. A lot of this shit is pretty customary, and if something goes wrong with it, it gets fixed the next game. It's not like the old school floors. What are your thoughts here on this one? It is a feel. You do have different feels for the court. I get that part. You're not bringing the rim down there, though, you know, that you shoot on your court. Which would probably make just as much sense, right?
Sure.
I think the whole building and the atmosphere is actually what does it. But would you be willing to include this one? And what do you think of this one? This one's kind of out there.
This, I think, would be a bad look. I have back Silver. I thought he's been a great leader during this time. But I think if you waste the money to do this, and I mean, there was have to be at least like a 30 to 40,000, actually, hell, it's probably going to be close to a six-figure deal if all teams got it. You'd be better off just writing a $200,000 check to a COVID relief fund than spending the amount of money to transport courts. To me, that one, I think it would make you look like you're being, you know, wasteful with your money. which I don't think they want to do. So I think that was this would get backlash. And also, LeBron or Kawhi are going to hit jumpers, whether the court looks like one you and I played on in high school or if it has like a Lakers symbol. Like, to me, this one I just think is really dumb. And again, sends the wrong message financially, just to me.
Sure. That makes sense. I'm in between on this one too. I'm not against it, but you make some good points. I don't think there's that much of a difference. I know that there'll be an NBA player that says, "Oh, dude, our court's more smoother," or whatever the fuck. But I don't buy that needs to happen. Okay, now this is the big one. This is the one that actually is debatable, I believe. Like, full on. I don't think it's debatable, but I'm going to debate it. Higher seeded team designated one player, so Dennis Rodman could get an extra clothesline in. Okay, so higher seeded team designated one player to be allowed 7 fouls before falling out. So you're giving your best defender on your squad, actually, I take that back. It probably would be your best player they probably do because it's like, fuck it, we can't take the risk. So now the best player on your team gets an extra foul that nobody else gets. Not the other side either, the best team. 7 fouls, LeBron James gets 7 fouls in a game. And like I said, take it back to the 90s. Dennis Rodman gets an extra clothesline in on your best player.
I think maybe starting the game up 5-0 would maybe be even more sensible than this. The only thing I would say for this, Chris, is I would vote no. But if they did this, I would say the opposing coach gets to pick one of the team's, like, 5 starters. If you're going to make this a rule, let's say, okay, so again.
Okay, okay.
Let's say it's LeBron.
I can meet you halfway, maybe.
Yeah, like let's say it is a LeBron. LeBron and Kawhi. So let's say Lakers have home court. Then Nick Nurse, whoever the hell, you know. Okay, who are your 5 Lakers stars? Okay, Anthony Davis gets the extra foul. So if you're gonna do this, let the opposing coach pick a starting 5 player, and then I just see that being rational because hey. If you gave them free reign, they're going to pick some, you know, garbage bench player that sucks. So that would kill it. But, hey, you got to pick a starter. He gets an extra foul. There we go. That's, to me, more reasonable.
That would be more reasonable, and it would make more sense. I could maybe go there, but I still am saying no. I don't think anyone should get an extra foul. I still think LeBron and all these other guys – are going to get the calls like they do anyway.
Sure.
So,
well, let me ask you this, brother, then. Mm-hmm. Would you be more opposed to, okay, so let's say we go with my rule. Either Lakers start out the game 6-0 or LeBron gets an extra foul. If you had to choose which one would you pick? 6-0 lead to start off at the tip or extra foul?
I'd take an extra foul with LeBron. I would because 6-0 in the start of a game doesn't mean a whole lot. Mentally, it's not even like a touchdown to me anyway. Mentally, it's harder to get a touchdown though. But I would probably say, hey, if I can get LeBron to have an extra foul and nobody else has that, I would take that one. I would take that one. If I'm a coach, okay, I would take that one. Yeah. It's interesting. Now, once again, let's reiterate: these are not. Officially, I see people on Twitter freaking out. I was like, dude, this isn't even happening yet. We don't know any of this. So it's just something to debate about. And, you know, anything like last words that you want to add about some stuff that you maybe didn't get to fit in or some question or something like that about the return?
Yeah, just to kind of summarize our standings quickly. You know, again, the team, all teams are going to play 8 games, and a team has to be within 4 games. So right now, Memphis is the 8th seed. They're 7 games back of Dallas for the 7th, so Memphis is probably going to be stuck at 8. Portland's 3.5 back. The Pelicans are 3.5 back. So are the Kings. The Spurs are 4 back, and the Suns are six back. So the Suns are going to have to, like, go 8-0. But just in case you're wondering, if Memphis, let's say Memphis wins, like, five games, I mean, one of these teams is going to have to almost run the table. So you could see something. I know the NBA would love to have a Zion LeBron first round. But if you're, you know, if you're like me thinking, hey, it'd be cool to have, like, a make-it-or-take-it win-style kind of game, Memphis would have to play a little bit under 500, and one of these teams could get hot. So, again, the Portland, Pelicans, Kings, Spurs, and Suns, you're all still alive. The Spurs and Suns are really going to have to do a little bit of extra work. And if you go up east...
Yeah, it's really that eighth spot available in the West, isn't it? Because the seventh team has a winning record, doesn't it?
Yeah, you're right. So Memphis has 32 wins. Dallas has 40. I might as well do this really quickly. I'll just go through the whole thing quickly.
I did do that earlier, though. I did the schedule. I did that. So
if you want to make a side point. Okay, I'm just saying for the purpose of seeding. So right now in the West, Oklahoma City and Houston are both at tied for the 5 and 6 seed. Jazz are at 4. And the Lakers have a 5.5 game lead on the Clippers, and Nuggets are at 3. So the Clippers are pretty much a guaranteed – Lakers are guaranteed at 1. Clippers and Nuggets going for 2 and 3. And the Jazz, Thunder, and Rockets are all going to fight for 4 to 6. So that's your West. The East is – there's only one team available. The Magic are up 5.5 games on the Wizards. So unless the Magic crap the bed, the Wizards are, you know, they're going to have to work a little bit harder. They're 5.5 back, so you have to earn 2 games on them in 8. So you're going to have to play – Beal's going to have to ball out, okay? Just to go over quickly, if you're worried about your team for seeding in the East, the Bucks are in first place with a 6.5 game spot. So Bucks are – I mean, unless Giannis and the team leave, they're number 1. Toronto's number 2. Boston is 3 games behind Toronto for 3. The Heat are at 4, and they're up 2 games on Indiana. Indiana and Philly are both 14 games back. So right now the Pacers and 76ers are both the 5 and 6 seed. And they're not going to get caught either by Brooklyn. So again, if you're cheering for your team, obviously Pacers and Philly, that they're both good squads. We'll see where they flip-flop. But, yeah, so the West is a little more fun and compact. The East, I mean, your one spot set up. And, again, if the Magic lose, like, 8 games in a row, they don't deserve to make the playoffs anyways, Chris.
Yeah, so it's pretty much some of the things that we knew going in as far as the top-tier teams, they're going to be there probably. But, yeah, if you look at – these are going to be some – like, down the stretch as far as 8 games go – in the West, we've had battles. I remember a couple of years ago when the Timberwolves, the difference between the 3rd and the 8th seed was, you know, 2 games. It wasn't much at all. But it's going to be some meaningful games down the stretch for basically 4 seed and down. Some of the most meaningful games, because you are giving someone a shot that, you know, they still have a shot, but I just think it's about as fair as you can get, and including the 88 games as well. And you know, since we're at this, we kind of went minorly longer than I thought, to start getting into a top 74 list, it just doesn't line up. So we'll do that next week. We'll give you one more show, next week or sometime, soon, before we shut it down until July 31st or whatever. Does that sound pretty good?
That works for me.
Kind of lines up. All right. Well, any last words? You can get us out of here, sir.
When we come back, there will be a lot of basketball to watch, a lot of basketball to gamble on. And like I said, I know we talked a lot about the 8 seeds, but all the other seeds do matter. I mean, obviously, right now, like Nuggets, Jazz, Thunder, and Rockets from 3 to 6 are all within 2.5 games of each other. So forget about Memphis. There's still a whole lot of meaningful basketball to be played. It's not just the Magic and, Ja Morant who are worried about stuff. So yeah, it's going to be really fun. I'm happy they have this plan. It'll be very curious for Chris and I, when we come back next time, to see which rules were allowed. Obviously we have some different opinions on that. I do think that some of them will pass. I'd be shocked if there was no idea for home court plus advantage, but some, we'll see. It'll be a very curious vote. So until then, stay safe, stay at home. If you go on social media, hopefully you're saying the right thing, because we need a lot more positivity in our country in this time. So until then, the boys are out. Have a great month. We'll be back soon. Peace.